correction in the courtyard today also. It is my privilege to introduce the speaker of the morning. It is not Pastor Tim. I would be privileged if I was doing that too, but anyway. I want to tell you a little story about our speaker today. A couple of years ago, I was in a meeting with a group of women. We would meet once a month, come together, spend really an extended time, 2 to 3 hours, where we just shared life to life with one another. But we always ended the time going around the circle and saying something we wanted prayer for the coming month. I don't even remember what I was asking prayer for. You know, like I was falling apart, maybe, I don't know, something like that. But as my friend was praying for me, she was praying a good prayer, and it was encouraging me, and I was agreeing with it. And then she stopped, and she said, "Brenda, the Lord gave me a picture of something." And she said, it's a blue box. I saw a blue box. And she said, "It's not just any box. It's that iconic Tiffany and Company box." Well, I got excited. I was getting, you know, this seemed like perfect timing to me because Christmas was just a few months away. So, you know, I thought, okay, Dan is going to do good this year. I mean, he does good most years, but I was very excited about the possibilities of a blue, iconic blue Tiffany and Company box because it was going to be good. And so Christmas came and went, and that didn't happen. And so I thought, well, okay, Lord, maybe it's not literally a blue Tiffany box with something really nice inside. And it was within a few weeks after Christmas that the Lord brought my Tiffany box to me, except it wasn't a box. It was a person. And in some extraordinary, very interesting ways, the Lord gave me Tiffany. Tiffany Wortley. And she came into my life at exactly the right time with exactly what I needed. I needed some sparkle in my life. And Tiffany came into my life, and we began to build this incredible friendship, life to life, lots of fun, lots of tears, lots of encouragement, lots of care, lots of concern, and lots of staying up a little too late if we were going to show up to work on time. But Tiffany has been an incredible friend to me, and she has been a delightful gift to my life. Along with that, Tiffany, some of you might not realize this, but Tiffany was one of the first young leader that Pastor Tim and Deborah brought onto the team. And there have been many gifts added to my life, and they are represented by the young leaders that I team with. It is a great privilege to learn from them and to do life with them. It's one of the greatest gifts of this season of my life. And so this morning, as Tiffany comes to bring the word of the Lord for us, I want to share my gift with you. I want to share this incredible woman who loves Jesus with all of her heart, and she loves the kids of our church with everything of her heart. She eats, breathes, and sleeps kids. And so we are so privileged to have her share with us this morning. Would you welcome Tiffany Pastor Sparkles?
All right, well, I'm already crying, and we're just getting started. So I am so privileged to be here with you guys today. And as most of you know, I usually spend my Sunday mornings over with the little kids, but since Pastor Tim and Deborah are out of town this morning at a convention, they asked if I wanted to come over and be here with the big kids. And I said, yes, I'm so excited to be here. But I've got to tell you guys, it's a little disconcerting for me to look out and have you all looking back at me. Because, the kids are a little more squirrely than that. How many of you guys have kids, have worked with kids, have met kids? Yeah, they don't really sit still for very long. So even though they might be paying attention, you know, they're also doing a drum beat on someone's chair or checking out the contents of their pockets. So usually before we start the preaching time, we do a little stretching. So would you guys humor me this morning and do it with me? All right, it's really easy. You can do it. You can do it. Everybody reach up really high. Come on, you can do it. Good. Okay, get your wiggles out. Get your wiggles out. Get your wiggles out. Good. You guys have got lots of wiggles today. Okay, reach your hands forward. Stretch. Stretch your neck. Good, good. Now reach out to the side. Yeah, okay. All right. I see you guys are going for the slap your friend in the face method. Guys, give a head massage. A head massage. That's a better method. All right. Now turn to someone and say, prepare to be amazed. All righty. Are we ready? Are we prepared to be amazed? That's what I like to hear. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verse 31. All right, and we are continuing our series on Amazed. And so just like we've been doing all month, we're going to watch as Pastor Tim reads our passage from his time in Israel. So let's take a look at the screens and take a look.
Here I am at the Sea of Galilee, right across the sea from the region of the Decapolis. That's where we find Jesus doing his work this morning. Today we're in Mark 7, starting in verse 31. It says this, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, 'Ephphatha,' which means 'be opened.' At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. 'He has done everything well,' they said. 'He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'"
Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you that your word is living and active. And God, this morning we ask that you would open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to know what you're speaking to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I don't know about you guys, but do you ever get to a passage of scripture where you just go, okay, moving on. Mark 8. I'm going to be honest. That's how I felt about this passage. Okay, Jesus puts his fingers in the dude's ears, and then he spits in his mouth. What is happening here? When I got this, I got an email from Pastor Tim saying that this is what I was going to speak on, and so I'm looking at the email, and I'm looking at my Bible, and I'm like, you're kidding. You're going to give me this story? What am I supposed to do with this? So I don't know if any of you guys were here last summer when I got a chance to speak, but I shared about how as a kid, I always wanted things to be fun, fun, fun. So since that time, fun, fun, fun has become a bit of a catchphrase for us, especially in children's ministry. We often refer to things as either fun, fun, fun or no funds at all. We actually even had t-shirts made. I mean, I'm just saying, you might want to think about volunteering in kids' ministry. The other week, I was in Pastor Tim's office, and I happened to be wearing my shirt. And I was talking to him about this passage, and I'm just laughing and asking him, what am I supposed to do with this? Last year, I got to talk about fun, 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 and this year, I get the spit story. What am I going to do? And this is why I love Pastor Tim, because he really is so great at putting things into perspective. And he goes, well, Tiff, I guess you've got your slogan for next year's t-shirts. Just spit in their face. Kids ministry team, if you get nothing else out of today, you can at least look forward to that. So what is going on here? What is happening? I've got to say, I started out really skeptical. But as I've spent time studying and reading about this, this has quickly become one of my favorite passages. And isn't that always how God's word works? It truly is amazing. And I think, when I look at this story, that all of this weird stuff that Jesus is doing comes down to one simple truth. God loves you. Now, a couple of you murmured amen. Some of you probably started tuning me out right there because you're thinking, okay, the children's pastor is going to tell me Jesus loves me. That's very original. What is her next line? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But hold on, because I think that sometimes God wants to remind us of a simple truth and shake our world. So, would you just look at this with me together? What is the first thing that Jesus does? The first thing that he does is he separates the man from the crowd. So the crowd brings the guy to him, and he goes, that's great, now you come over here. So what's he doing? Was he just being modest? He's feeling kind of shy, thinking, nobody look at me. I mean, that doesn't really line up with my view of Jesus because he already did all these other healings in front of people. So I don't think that was it. I was reading this blog by this guy that was like, well, Jesus was afraid because he didn't want people to see, I guess, or I don't know. But I don't really believe that this whole passage is about Jesus being afraid. Now, I can't say exactly what Jesus was thinking because I'm not Jesus. I know you're shocked already. But there is one theory that keeps ringing true for me. And I was thinking about it this way. As a children's pastor, my days are never boring. Sundays, you just never know what's going to pull your attention, right? Pastor Tiffany, look, look, look. We made a mural by putting all the stickers on the wall. Look, look, look. We made a mural by putting all the stickers on her face. Look, we made a boat by duct taping the tables together. That really did happen. But Sundays are not boring because there's always something that's pulling my attention. What happens most often is that one kid needs help and a whole group of kids brings him to me. It never fails. A kid is crying, a kid is bleeding, a kid gets a penny lodged up his nose, and suddenly he has an entourage. A whole group of kids brings that child to me. And it's really sweet because they think that I can comfort and bandage and dislodge and solve whatever other problem that they've got. But what's the first thing that I always do? I thank the crowd and send them away. Because it's not really about them, right? It's about the one kid who needs my help. He needs my attention. He doesn't need to be put on display. And the truth is that this man who was being healed, he had already been put on display. See, back in that day, people who were deaf mutes, they were classed with groups such as slaves and children, and even worse, a lot of times people thought that an impairment was a punishment for sin. So this guy would have already been well known in his community, and not in a good way. His life would have already been a public spectacle. So when I come to this passage with that in mind, I wonder if Jesus is in effect saying, hey, I see you. It's not about them. It's about you and me. And you're not just here for the amazement of others. In fact, in the end, he even tells the people, don't go tell everyone about what happened. Because it's not about that. It's about me and you. You have the full attention of the king. Last week, a friend told me that apparently some of the kids in our children's ministry play Pastor Tiffany. So at home, they impersonate me. And I guess when they impersonate me, they stand with one hand on their hip. It's terrifying. And then they take a cup of ice and they shake it like this. Because they're trying to mimic what I do with my iced coffee that I always have from Starbucks. Because I want to keep the drink cold. So I'm mixing the ice up. So, you know, my first thought was, oh my gosh, what kind of a diva pastor have I become? This is terrifying. And that thought probably does require some further reflection. But my second thought was, I can't believe they noticed that. You know, I mentioned that they're very squirrely, even when they're paying attention. They have lots of energy. But when I really stop and realize how much they see, I'm amazed. And I have to wonder, if we were to stop and think about how much God sees us, we would be amazed as well. Psalm 139 says that he sees when we sit and he sees when we rise. He perceives our thoughts from afar. He sees our comings and goings, and he's familiar with all of our ways. God sees you. You are not just a face in the crowd. He sees you. He sees you. And then he does a whole bunch of weird stuff. So let's look at what he does next. He puts his fingers in the guy's ear. He spits in his mouth. He looks up to heaven. He sighs, and then he says, "Be opened." So what is going on here? Now, you might be tempted to think, oh, Jesus is doing a ritual of some kind. Except that Jesus already healed a whole bunch of times without any reciting or waving or mumbo jumbo. So I don't really think Jesus needed to do that to heal. So if Jesus didn't need that for himself to heal, and we already decided, well, he wasn't doing it for the crowd, then he must have been doing it for the one that he was healing. So let's think about it through that lens. Remember, this man was deaf, so he could not hear. He had not heard about the miracles that Jesus had already done. He did not hear what the people were saying when they were dragging him to Jesus, and he would not have been able to hear if Jesus had simply spoken his healing into being. So I believe that Jesus was using nonverbal communication to show the man what he was doing. In effect, he was using sign language. He placed his hands on the man's ears and showed him, "I'm healing your hearing." He placed his hands on his own mouth and then on the man's and showed him, "I'm healing your speech." And he looked up to heaven and showed him, "This is from God." See, Jesus could have cared for the man and just healed him like that, but Jesus cared about the man. He saw him and he knew. He knew what that man was going through, and I believe he cared about how that man would perceive what was happening. So I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about when I was a little girl. So when I was a little girl, oh, there's a picture. Yeah, I'm the tall one with all the sass and a hand on my hip, so there's no hope for me. It started years ago. Oh, dear. Okay, when I was a little girl, I fell madly in love with butterflies. I still love butterflies. They remind me of sunshine and meadows and fairies and all things magical. And when I was growing up, I would go into our backyard and I would catch a whole bunch of them. Then I would go into my room and I would release them onto the windowsill. And then I would go outside and I'd get them a fistful of flowers. And then I'd grab a handful of cotton balls that had been soaked in sugar water and I laid the feast out before them. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I would train them. Bet you didn't know I was a butterfly trainer. I know, it's really amazing, but it's true. I trained butterflies as they were there flitting about the window with what I determined was uncontainable excitement, and in hindsight may have been a desire to escape, but we don't know that for sure, so I'm gonna go with my theory. They were excited about this opportunity to be trained. And as they were flitting about, I would start talking to them about proper butterfly behavior if they wished to be in Miss Tiffany's magical butterfly circus. Which, who wouldn't want to be in that? So I would tell them what to do, and then I would leave them alone. I would walk out of the room and give them time to think about what I said, really ponder it in their hearts. And when I came back in, they were much calmer. Presumably, because they had taken my word to heart. It could be that they were slowly starving because the sugar water cotton ball situation was not enough. But again, who really knows? So I believe they really listened to what I was saying. And then I would go over and I would gently put my finger in front of them and coax them onto my finger. And sure enough, it wasn't long before I had butterflies perched on my hands and arms as I strutted about singing about how I could paint with all the colors of the wind, because I was a butterfly trainer. I loved butterflies. I really thought that I did. But the truth is that my love for them was not based in any sort of understanding or concern about what they were, what they wanted, or what they even needed to survive. And I was thinking about that this week, and I felt like the Lord would say to some of us, "You're bringing your own life experiences your own understanding of religion, your own understanding of love, and it's warping your understanding of my love. God is not a God who is far off and just watches us with mild fascination, throwing everyone some sugar water and hoping that we'll do what he says and discarding us when we don't. He is a God who cares about you. That love of someone that's far off and not understanding and not concerned, that's not the love that I see in here. This is a love letter to us of a God that wants to have relationship with his creation that says, I see you, and I care about you. 1 Peter 5:7 says to give your worries to the Lord because he cares for you. Yeah. This can also be translated as he's concerned with you. He cares about and is concerned with what's going on in your life. I was reading this word study that said, it matters. Give your worries to the Lord because it matters to him. You matter to him. Jesus gave the man his attention. He gave the man his concern. And the man had his understanding as well. Because see, the next thing Jesus does is he sighs. And some translations say he groaned. And most scholars look at that and say, it's not that Jesus was feeling tired from all of the healing. That doesn't make sense. He was sighing and groaning because he was identifying with the man in his pain and sympathizing with where he was at. See, we don't have a far-off God. We have a God who walked this earth, who knew pain and suffering and grief firsthand. He experienced that. So he knows what you're going through. We say, well, no one understands what I'm going through. God knows what you're going through, and he understands better than anyone. It says in the Psalms that his understanding has no limit. He knows exactly what you're going through, and you know what? He's there sighing with you. Remember Mary? Lazarus had passed away, and Jesus met Mary, and even though Jesus was going to heal him, Jesus weeps with her. We have a God who identifies with our pain, and he sympathizes with us in it. He is there with you in the midst of what's going on in your life. He sees you. He cares about you. He understands you. He loves you.
Yeah.
And how powerful his love is. Jesus, after that, says, be opened. And immediately, the man is healed. And what's really interesting about this passage is that Mark uses a word for deaf-mute that's only used one other time in all of Scripture. And it's used in Isaiah 35. And in Isaiah 35, the prophet says, hey, when the kingdom of God comes, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap, the blind will see, and the mute will shout for joy. And Mark says, hey, that's happening. Hey, you remember that prophecy about the deaf hearing and the blind seeing and the lame leaping and the mute shouting? That is happening here. The kingdom of God has come. Now, we know that the kingdom of God is both now and not yet. It has come in part, but it will not come in full until Jesus returns. The world is still full of pain and suffering and grief. But God came, and he's already saved us, and he tore down that veil that separates us from God. I want to be honest with you this morning and tell you that for a long time, I didn't want to hear a single thing that anyone had to say about healing. And for some of us in this room, we've lost someone. And you would identify with that you don't want to hear about healing because you know what it means to have someone not healed. When I was in junior high, my dad got sick with cancer. And he went through a whole bunch of surgeries and chemotherapy and special treatments. And we prayed and we believed that God would heal him. And he passed away. And I still remember, like it was yesterday, the day that he passed away. Because he was in a hospital bed in our home. And when he passed away, I remember running out into my front yard. And I just got on my scooter and I rode around and around and around the driveway. And I didn't know what to say to the Lord. I could barely form any words. I just remember saying, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? So I was drowning in fear and grief and sorrow. And in that moment, I'm telling you, as clear as day. There was silence in my mind, peace that surpassed understanding. And the only thought that I could hear was, Tiffany, I am your father. I did not get to experience the physical healing of my dad, although I know that he is alive and well in heaven. But I will tell you that on that day, I experienced a touch of healing from the Lord nonetheless. Because in my moment of deepest pain, in my darkest moment, the Lord reached out his hands and he placed them on my wound and he spoke words of healing life over my crumbling heart. He cared about me. And life is hard, and I wish that I could stand here and tell you something different, but I can't. Life is hard, and it will be until Jesus returns. But God loves us. Yeah. He says in Hebrews 4:16, draw near with confidence the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace in your time of need. He is calling us to him. He's saying, come here and let me love you. Come confidently before the throne of grace and let me show you compassion and care. He is calling us to him. And so the question for us becomes, will we go? Will we draw near to God? Will we stop what we're doing, step aside from the crowd, and meet with Jesus? Because it's one thing for us to know in our minds God loves us. But it's in the encounter with Jesus that we experience that love. It's in the encounter with Jesus that our hearts are changed. It's in the encounter with Jesus that our world will be rocked. Our priorities will be shifted. Our will come into alignment with him. It's in the encounter with Jesus that your heart will be changed, your wounds will be healed, your fears will be relieved, your bondage will be broken, your eyes will be open, and your sins will be washed away. It's in the encounter with Jesus that your life will be changed again and again and again, and God is calling you to him. Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. Let me give you rest for your souls. James 4:8 says, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. We do not have a God who is far off that just looks at you with fascination. We have a God who says, you are my child and I will love you like you are my child. 1 John 3:1, how great the Father's love for us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That is what you are, is a child of God, and neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Can I get an amen for that? Jesus loves you. This I know because the Bible tells me so. He loves you. He knows your name. And he is calling you into his embrace. Would you meet with him this morning? Would you come to him again and again and again? Because I will tell you this. An encounter with the Lord will leave you amazed. So this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to take a moment and we're going to encounter Jesus. We already did in worship, but we're not going to leave this place without having another moment with the Lord. So we're going to sing a song. Some of you may know it, some of you may not, but would you just take a moment to reflect? Let's just reflect on the love of God for us. Let's just sit in his presence for a moment and just be. Let's spend a moment in worship together.